From Bethlehem, from Athens, and from Vail, Colorado, comes today's news. Good evening, everybody. This is Lowell Thomas for CBS News. Christmas in the Holy Land, as you may have heard, was marked today by the tightest security in the 7 years of Israeli occupation. They were banning all vehicles from Bethlehem, searching all who arrived to attend the nativity services at the church and to walk down those steps to the chapel of the manger. This in part the result of a terrorist grenade attack early in the week, and it cut attendance by pilgrims from an expected 15,000 to barely 1,000. At any rate, the Christmas Eve ceremony did go off without incident. At the Vatican, Pope Paul tonight struck a silver hammer against the door of St. Peter's Basilica, thus ushering in a new holy year dedicated to reconciliation within the Catholic Church and throughout the world. He then celebrated his annual Christmas Eve midnight mass with the ceremony broadcast by radio and television around the globe. At Athens, a reward of more than $800,000 offered today by Greek shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis. This for proof that a plane crash in which his son was killed 2 years ago was the result of a premeditated act. Onassis' offer is said to be based on opinions from foreign and Greek experts that the crash was definitely caused by sabotage, not negligence. Santa Claus came to troubled Ulster today in an armored car, under heavy guard. The Santa in question, a British Army trooper passing out candy and gifts to children living in Belfast, mainly in the Protestant Sandy Row district. Santa's visit in the midst of an IRA truce that seems to be holding up till now. Former CIA Director Richard Helms today categorically denied any agency involvement in domestic espionage when he was there. This in a telegram from Tehran, where he is our ambassador. It was in response to a query from Secretary of State Kissinger, who has been told to get all the facts. Helms denying that the CIA conducted illegal domestic operations against anti-war activists or dissidents, or that any unit to do so was created under him. From the American Academy of Pediatrics, a warning to the parents of young snowmobilers, noting that reckless operation of snowmobiles presents serious risks. Snowmobile-related deaths now running from 20 to 30 a month. Special training programs for the young are urged and stricter parental control. The arrest of a coast-to-coast commuter bandit is reported from San Jose, California. 32-year-old Gaylord Anguish, accused of robbing 5 Long Island banks during trips east to visit his mother. Between jobs, allegedly holing up in a plush chalet in the Santa Cruz Mountains. The key to Anguish's undoing, a rental car that he charged to his mother's credit card. And she, too, is under arrest for not giving her son away. Mrs. Laura Wisham of Freehold, New Jersey, observed Christmas Eve today the way she always has done, celebrating her own birthday. This one, her 103rd birthday. But she still found time to get in some work as a member of the local retired seniors volunteer program. Mrs. Wisham saying she credits her long life to luck and the fact that the Almighty hasn't yet put her number up on that board. Mr. and Mrs. Nixon and their daughters and sons-in-law, they were celebrating a quiet family Christmas today at San Clemente. The former president, although somewhat alone, far from forgotten. He was receiving thousands of Christmas cards and hundreds of gift packages. The President of the United States and Mrs. Ford, they will be spending Christmas Eve at an annual party with old friends, and then to a midnight service. Today, he was again swinging down the mountain at Vail, Colorado, with the temperature 12 below. As he stood still for the half-frozen photographers, he said he was quite warm. Then he shoved off for a 2-mile run with a 2,000-foot drop, doing it in 13 minutes. The president said he was a little stiff when he started, but on reaching the base where you get in the gondola or chairlift to go up again, he said he was feeling fine. Observers said he didn't push it. He even pulled up a couple of times to chat with skiers. Those he passed as he sped down the mini dole run nodded in admiration. A good, strong skier, they said. At one point, a spectator telling the president, "We're proud to have you here in Vail." President Ford replying, "You make me Vail Justice of the Peace, and I'll quit as president." And now this message. You, in 1975.
I'm Ray Brady. Beginning the weekend of January 4th and every weekend thereafter, I'll be here with a new broadcast, Your Dollars. You know how dollars don't buy what they used to and how they just fade away at the store. But I'll bring you ways you can stretch those dollars, ways you can earn more money with the money you've got. Listen for Your Dollars, beginning the weekend of January 4th on the CBS Radio Network.
One more Christmas item. This one comes from Norbury, England. And perhaps it has the true Christmas spirit. A chalk notice on the blackboard at the local railway station, reading, "Sorry for the poor Christmas tree and decorations, but the real one and the lights, they were stolen last night." And then it added, "Happy Christmas to you all and to the thief." And this is Lowell Thomas for CBS News saying, "Merry Christmas to all of you, and so long until tomorrow."
Anderson Place Market would like to add its greetings to all those being expressed this Christmas. A very Merry Christmas to you all. As friends and family gather together to celebrate another Christmas, the Duane Buell Agency extends to you and yours sincere wishes for happiness and prosperity.
Lights sparkle all over this fair city of Roseburg. Hanson Chevrolet extends to you all their sincere wishes for your health and happiness. Merry Christmas.
There are countless ways of saying Merry Christmas, although when you get right down to it, it all means the same thing. For this reason, Arctic Circle number 1 and 2 says simply, "God bless you and yours. Merry Christmas."
Barking signals for the Green Bay Packers, Bart Starr. Bud Grant, be prepared. Bring cleats, boots, and quarterback sneakers, and Jesse Owens. It takes talent, pride, effective coaching, and lots of hard work. Hello, this is Ron Swoboda speaking for Pat Summerall from New York on the CBS Radio Network with Worldwide Sports. Christmas Day came early in Green Bay for the Packers and Bart Starr, and for the fans and Packer players, too. It's hard to imagine a more popular decision than the naming of the former quarterback as the new head coach and general manager in Packer land. WBAY Radio's John Campbell heralds the return of a Packer legend.
The Packers have given Starr complete control over their football operation. Over the past week, it had become a foregone conclusion that Starr would become Dan Devine's successor. Starr's reaction to the official announcement was this:
"I thought you'd never ask." "I am absolutely ecstatic about this opportunity, and I want to publicly thank the executive committee of the Green Bay Packers for affording me this opportunity. I'm extremely thrilled. I'm very honored by it. I'm also humbled at this time, but gentlemen, I am not horrified. I recognize that we have a tremendous task in front of us, and I just hope to be up to that, and I think that I can be."
It's no secret that recent history has not been kind to the once proud tradition owned by the Packers. Starr is well aware of that.
"I've been a little disappointed in the last few years in traveling around the country, particularly working with CBS, where I came in contact with other teams, with other organizations in other cities, to see somewhat the respect slip for the Green Bay Packers. That hurts you. I recognize that I'm biased and partial, but I also have a great love affair for this team. And again, I have no illusions, but I'd like to be part of a total team that can hopefully help restore some of that prestige and tradition that was a part of this organization for so many, many years. We're going to build it around cooperation and unity from within this organization. I think that this league is too tough to be concerned with your thoughts and distractions and bickerings and fightings internally. You have to direct your efforts externally toward the opponent."
Over the years, a mutual admiration had developed between Bart Starr and the Green Bay Packer fan. There is reason to believe it's only just begun.
Whether or not, the Minnesota Vikings are planning a very warm reception for the Los Angeles Rams when the two division champions collide in Bloomington for the NFC title on Sunday. There are few cities where pro sports teams are located that can compare to the Minneapolis-St. Paul vicinity at this time of the season. WCCO Radio's Dick Chapman says it's business as usual.
Viking coach Bud Grant, formerly of the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, has seen it all.
We've played below zero at night in Canada,
which is miserable, Canada or not. But do you know what Grant's memory of the coldest game is? In the deep south of Georgia,
about 5 years ago in Atlanta, we'd won 12 in a row. And we went down there with a 12-1 record and got beat 10-7 or whatever it was. And it was the coldest we've ever been in because it was around 30 degrees. It had snowed. They cleared the field. Then it started to rain. Everybody was soaking wet after the first play. And by the end of the game, everybody was blue and numb.
So, Grant, the Vikes will show up Sunday with no heaters and watch the Rams bench snuggle up to propane blast furnaces. Grant said cold is cold. It affects both teams. But he does admit Minnesota weather can affect the field once the game begins. Over a period of four quarters in extreme cold, that field changes.
It only has to change in the top quarter inch of that field and freeze up on you, and then it could make a great deal of difference. I'm sure that the Rams will have a varying number of shoes, as we will. We have cleats and artificial shoes, broom ball shoes, and probably each player has four or five different type of footwear that he can wear on the field if the field conditions do change. The thing that could happen, of course, is a strong wind. The wind freezes up the field more than the cold does. It can be cold and sunny, and the field will freeze up very slow, but if it happens to be cloudy and windy and get down around 15 degrees or 10 or 12, it'll freeze up very quickly and quite likely would not finish the game in the same condition it started in.
Long-range forecasts right now say not too cold for Minnesota, maybe some snow, but no heavy stuff. Grant, the Vikings, even the fans, are too shrewd to buy that, though. We all make up our minds about the weather all around kickoff time, and even then, we're sometimes wrong.
The NFL, it seems, is more concerned about the Minnesota weather than the Vikings. Bud Grant's team had its usual Tuesday workout today at home. We'll do the same tomorrow and then fly off again to Tulsa, where the club, Grant feels, can concentrate 100% on the Rams game. Grant had not wanted to return home until Saturday, but the NFL, fearing the possibility of a blizzard, ordered the Vikings back to Minnesota on Friday night. Indiana University, sporting an 8-0 record, is driving towards the top hoop in the basketball ratings. The Hoosiers, who last week displaced UCLA as the second-ranked team in the minds of the UPI coaches, grabbed off 11 of the 35 first-place votes. That's half the votes polled by top-ranked North Carolina State, and the Wolfpack finds itself being closely pressed by Indiana this third week of the ratings. With UCLA a strong third, Louisville is fourth, and Southern California is fifth, the balance of the top 10 reads Alabama, Maryland once beaten North Carolina, Arizona State, and once beaten South Carolina. In pro basketball and NBA trade, the New York Knicks have dealt reserve forward Howard Porter to Detroit for the Pistons' number one selection in next spring's draft. Hobbled by injuries and therefore seeing limited service, Porter was an off-season acquisition from Chicago, for whom the Knicks likewise gave up a first-round draft pick. St. Louis Cardinal outfielder Lou Brock has been named Sportsman of the Year by Sporting News. Brock hurt when he lost out to the Dodgers' Steve Garvey in the baseball writers' voting for National League MVP, stole a record 118 bases, helping to keep his Redbirds in the National League East right up to the final day. Brock extended to 10 his own record for consecutive seasons of stealing 50 or more bases. In part two of our four-part series on Jesse Owens, the Buckeye Bullet, Don Klein of San Francisco's KCBS Radio dwells on the early days, Jesse's start in track and field.
It was a combination of natural talent and effective coaching that produced track and field's first superstar, Jesse Owens, who speaks of his early ambitions.
I wanted to become known as the world's fastest human being. And I had a junior high school coach that perhaps is more responsible for whatever successes I've had in track and field, perhaps than anyone else, because he was the beginning of it all. He laid the foundation down. And he told us all on the track team at that particular day what we must do to be able to achieve the dreams that we had.
Owens first translated those dreams into reality as a world record performer in college, the springboard to Olympic fame, and four gold medals at Berlin in 1936. Jesse recalling his most cherished victory.
I was able to stand at the starting line in Berlin and begin to look and say and dream that I could compete for this championship. And this is why the 100 meters was most important to me. And being able and fortunate enough to win it, of course, the dream had come true. And not that anything out that was anticlimactic. I worked as hard toward the other medals as I did toward that one particular medal. But it was something of an achievement, and my junior high school coach was proud. My college coach was very proud. And needless to say, I was very proud.
As was a nation of sports enthusiasts over Owen's accomplishments, of which Jesse speaks on a future Worldwide Sports feature report.
The exciting race for the Super Bowl is coming to a close, and one of the determining factors will be the National Football Conference Championship game on Sunday, December the 29th. I'm Jim Kelly, CBS Radio Sports. Join Don Klein and me as we bring you all the play-by-play and color of this postseason pre-Super Bowl event, the game that can be the stepping stone to greatness. The National Football Conference Championship game, Sunday, December the 29th, on radio exclusively over most of these CBS Radio Network stations.
You've been listening to Worldwide Sports, covering the latest happenings with reports from Green Bay, Bloomington, Minnesota, and San Francisco, as well as New York. I'm Ron Swoboda, and for Worldwide Sports, we wish all of you a very Merry Christmas.
News. An Australian Army medical team is flying aid to the cyclone-devastated city of Darwin. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. The airport at Darwin was hit by the center of Cyclone Tracy, and runways were underwater at last report, so there's some question as to whether the medical team can land there. But they plan to put down as close as they can to the northwest Australian port city. The cyclone packed 125-mile-an-hour winds when it blew ashore Wednesday morning, killing at least seven people and leaving what sources on the scene describe as a considerable number of injured. As the storm hit, radio antennas went down and communications went out. They have been restored on a limited basis through a government ship in Darwin Harbor. The first report to reach Sydney came from an Australian Broadcasting Commission reporter using the Flying Doctor shortwave radio. Broadcaster Jeff Leach in Sydney summed up for CBS News the picture of devastation he has been able to piece together.
The sketchy reports we've had coming from Darwin say that the city has been almost completely blitzed. Areas have just been completely leveled. There's building debris, broken houses, smashed trees, upended cars and trailers all over the place. Some of the more important community buildings, such as the hospital, the police station, the post office, have been very badly damaged. It's going to be a long time before things are back to normal in Darwin, and certainly a Christmas they'll never forget. I doubt if the city has faced anywhere near such damage since the Second World War, when it was bombed by the Japanese.
Reporter Leach says the patients were taken to safety from the hospital before the storm hit. At least one ship, a fishing research vessel, is known to have turned turtle in Darwin Harbor. CBS News continues after this.
In God We Trust, America Speaks. From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right.
Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
A strong earthquake late Tuesday shook the Shemya military outpost in the Aleutian Islands. The National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration says the quake registered 6.2 on the 10-point Richter scale. No injuries reported among the more than 1,000 persons living on the island. Pope Paul VI on Christmas Eve opened the Roman Catholic Church's Holy Year with three taps of a silver hammer on the holy door leading into St. Peter's Basilica. He later celebrated the annual midnight mass, calling on Catholics to celebrate the birth of Christ in what he described as a wonder and joy of faith. In the Holy Land, pilgrims were relatively few as the threat of violence cast a pall over the celebration. Less than 1,000 worshippers were counted in Bethlehem's manger square, a small fraction of the 15,000 who had been expected. Israeli troops carrying submachine guns were everywhere, guarding against the threat of violence from Palestinian guerrillas. It was the heaviest security in the 7 years since Israel occupied the city. A National Congress for the Restoration of Democracy has been inaugurated in South Korea. A group of political figures, religious leaders, and intellectuals, some 20 strong, met in Seoul to begin a campaign directed at liberalization of President Chung Hee Park's authoritarian regime. More news after this.
Again this year, we say it with music. Greetings from the CBS Radio Network and some people you know. All our good sports want to be counted. Phil Rizzuto, Lynn Elliott, Jim Kelly, Ron Swoboda, Jeff Scott, and Pat Summerall. And there's Walter Cronkite, Hughes Rudd, Mitchell Krause, and the rest from CBS News. And the new year from the CBS Radio Network.
This word just in, updating the story on the cyclone in Australia. 20 persons are now counted as dead. Hundreds are said to have been injured in the Christmas Day cyclone, which devastated that northwestern Australian city. No good news from Australia now. The hopes are, that the rescue team on the way in will be able to provide the necessary aid. Merry Christmas to all from Mike Stanley, CBS News.
Do you know where to go at this time of night, in case there's some last-minute items you forgot down there at the supermarket that you had to wait in line 2 hours for? Well, Sid's Little Market's going to be open till 1 o'clock tonight, and he's located right there at the town end of the Oak Street Bridge. He's going to be giving away free candy canes to the little ones with their parents tonight and tomorrow until they run out. So stop on down there to Sid's Little Market, get all your groceries, and get in and out really quick. Mention KR&R and get absolutely free, a big smile from little Sid.
A million and a half.
Wow.
Over a million and a half snowmobiles in the U.S. already.
Good business.
Or bad, like cars.
Oh, you mean accidents?
Almost 20,000 serious accidents last year, caused from speed, collisions, driving too close, and guess what else?
Don't tell me drunk driving.
Yep.
On a snowmobile? That's hard to believe.
On a snowmobile? That's dumb.
For further information, write or call toll-free U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, Washington, D.C., 20207.
The city of Darwin is said to be almost totally in ruins. I'm Stuart Novins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A vicious cyclone has hit the port city of Darwin in Australia. The Reuters news agency reporting from Sydney says it has received reports that much, if not all, of the city has been devastated. Communications have been broken with the area, but before the area was cut off, a radio transmitter on the coast reported that the city had been hit by 125-mile-an-hour winds and had suffered total devastation. The radio operator said roofs had been ripped off buildings, windows blown out, and power cables cut. A ship is aground in the harbor of Darwin. Two other vessels have sent out distress signals. The Darwin Airport control tower was forced off the air by heavy flooding. The windows were blown away, and presumably its radio antennas lost. More news after this message.
God we trust, America speaks. From Abraham Lincoln's creed, I believe in God, the almighty ruler of nations, our great and good and merciful maker, our Father in heaven, who notes the fall of a sparrow and numbers the hairs on our heads. I have a solemn vow registered in heaven to finish the work I am in full view of my responsibility to my God, with malice toward none, with charity for all, with firmness in the right, as God gives me to see the right. Presented by the Catholic Communications Foundation.
The former CIA director, Richard Helms, now at his post as ambassador to Iran, has flatly denied that the Central Intelligence Agency spied on American civilians in this country, contrary to the laws that established the agency. Helms, responding to requests for information sent him at the president's request by Henry Kissinger, says nothing of the kind occurred while he was director. The State Department says Secretary Kissinger will restrict his activity in the administration probe to simply transmitting to the president the response of Helms and a report from the present CIA director, William Colby. The investigations, in which Congress now says it will participate independently, were touched off by reports in the press that the CIA, during the Nixon administration, had spied on thousands of American citizens. Federal law prohibits any domestic intelligence work by the CIA. A top official of the CIA, James Angleton, who headed the agency's counterintelligence operation, says he is resigning, not because of any wrongdoing, he says, but because it would be, as he puts it, good for the service. Angleton, in a telephone interview with United Press International, said he thinks the press reports were exaggerated, but he says there is something to it, and he added he agrees with some of it. President Ford has called a meeting of his top energy and economic advisors. They'll confer on Friday in Vail, Colorado, where the president is enjoying a ski vacation. The White House says Mr. Ford will not make any final decisions at the meeting. The president and his family will be attending midnight church services tonight. At this hour, they're having Christmas dinner with many old friends. Mr. Ford got in some skiing today, about 3 hours on the slopes. Reports issued in Paris today indicate that the French government is moving rapidly to compensate for the high oil prices it must pay. France is getting much of that money back in massive trade deals. The figures show that France, in the past 3 months, has made commercial deals with the oil-producing Arab countries, totaling more than $16.5 billion. CBS News continues after this message.
Again this year, we say it with music. Greetings from the CBS Radio Network and some people you know. All our good sports want to be counted. Phil Rizzuto, Lynn Elliott, Jim Kelly, Ron Swoboda, Jeff Scott, and Pat Summerall. And there's Walter Cronkite, Hughes Rudd, Mitchell Krause, and the rest from CBS News. For the holidays and the new year from the CBS Radio Network.
The Roman Catholic Holy Year has begun and was inaugurated tonight at St. Peter's Basilica by Pope Paul. The Church's Holy Years come only once every quarter of a century. The theme this year is Christian renewal and reconciliation between man and God. Stuart Novins, CBS News.
Maud, she's the master of the put-down. She may sound and act very much like a woman's liver, but she still believes in the institution of marriage. In fact, she believes in it so strongly that she's been married 4 times. But then Maud was never one to give up. You'll hear and see her sound off loud and clear about almost everything Monday at 8 o'clock on KZTV Television Channel 10.
Right on, Maud. Christmas, a day of peace and happiness, a day for children. I'm Fulton Lewis, speaking through the Mutual Broadcasting System facilities in Washington, D.C. Those who've been listening to the Fulton Lewis commentaries over the years are very familiar with a long-standing tradition started by my late father, Fulton Lewis Jr., more than 30 years ago, a tradition of turning over these Christmas broadcasts to the children of the family. Christmas, after all, is a day for children. We grown-ups are the ones responsible for making such a mess of this world that we live in. It is we who have injected the hatreds, the crime, the wars, the economic chaos. There is, in contrast, a very beautiful innocence in the world of children, one that is shared by children everywhere, one which symbolizes the peace, the goodwill, the happiness which the Christ child was born to bring. For most of these past three decades, my sister Betsy and I were the children of the family, and consequently, these Christmas broadcasts belong to us. You may indeed remember some of those programs, the ones which came from the little brick church by the side of the road in Hollywood, Maryland, where my father had built the organ and had directed the choir, or perhaps the ones which came from Grace Episcopal Church here in Washington, where my grandfather had sung in the choir when he was a child. Well, now both Betsy and I have children of our own. She and her husband, retired Navy Captain Kenneth Ennie, and their two children, 11-year-old Elizabeth and 9-year-old Ken Jr., are all living in Brunswick, Georgia. The oldest of my three children is Kelly Lewis, who in just a week will be 10 years old. She has very long, silky blonde hair, is quite a beautiful and charming young lady, and is one of the top students in the fifth grade at Langley School in nearby McLean, Virginia. Fulton Lewis IV turned 7 last summer, and if his smile, his blonde hair, his innocent look make him appear at times to be a little angelic, he'll be the first to point out that looks can be deceiving. He is all boy. His number one interest now is soccer, and I must admit that he is the star of the 7-year-olds in McLean. In fact, in one game this fall, Fulton scored no less than 8 goals, and that must come somewhere close to a record. Alexandra Lewis recently turned 4, and this fall she joined her brother and sister as a student at Langley School, albeit that Alex is now only in junior kindergarten. She has a world of her own, and she apparently enjoys it because even in her sleep, there was a broad smile pasted on her face. 2 years ago, we were wondering whether Alex would ever learn to talk. Now we wonder if she'll ever stop talking. This is their show, though, and for it, they have asked that we all come here to St. David's Episcopal Church in Northwest Washington, D.C., the church where Kelly sings in the junior choir, the church where their grandfather built the pipe organ some 10 years ago. It's a very, very magnificent instrument, one which you will soon be hearing playing in the background. Kelly, coming here to beautiful St. David's for this Christmas broadcast was mostly your idea, wasn't it?
That's right, Daddy. This is where Alex and Fulton and I go to Sunday school. It's where Granddaddy built the pipe organ, and it's the church where you and Grandmommy go on Sundays.
And last fall, you were finally old enough to join the junior choir here yourself. And I think that really is why we're doing this broadcast from St. David's.
Each Christmas Eve, the junior choir and the other children of the church have a Christmas pageant, and we all put the story of Christmas into songs.
And I know you and your choir director, Mrs. Davidson, have already selected 2 of those songs to do for us now.
You said they were 2 of your favorites. The first one is Good Christian Men Rejoice. The next is The First Noel.
All right, Kelly, you join the others in the choir, and we'll just sit back and listen. very, very good children, a great arrangement. Now, the First Noel.
The First Noel, the angels did say, was to certain poor shepherds in fields as they lay. In fields as they lay, keeping their sheep on a cold winter's night that was so deep. No.
Thank you, children, all of you. You know, there's a certain nostalgia for me just being here listening to you. I remember our Christmas broadcast back in the late 1940s when I was singing in the choir down in southern Maryland. And I also remember the many, many years of work, hard work, which went into the construction of the pipe organ, which we just heard in the background. When my father would come home from work each night, he would disappear into the basement of our house and spend literally hours each evening building wooden chests or soldering electrical connections or just tuning pipes. It seemed as if we were living in a workshop, but in the late 1960s, the organ here at St. David's was finally completed. Some of the actual installation work was not really finished until after my father died, but it is playing. It is a beautiful instrument. Just to show off a little, Kelly, I think I'll play just one tune, so the microphone's yours.
While Daddy plays the organ now, Alex Fulton and I want to thank everyone for being with us here at St. David's Church for this Christmas. We hope you have enjoyed it as much as we have. Fulton, I know you wanted to say something.
I just wish that every day could be Christmas and that every child everywhere could have everything he wants from Santa Claus. How about you, Alex?
We wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Alex, Fulton, and Kelly, I think that really sums up the wishes of all of us. We wish you could all be here with us here at St. David's. It's not a very majestic church. It's not any big cathedral. It's just a very, very lovely, very, very warm place to worship. And I know I speak for the pastor, Reverend Luther Miller, in saying that you are welcome to visit any time that you're in this area. Well, since you couldn't be here in person, we're awfully glad that you could join us by way of this broadcast. And now, from the bottom of our hearts in the Lewis family, we wish you all, well, Alex, you say it.
We wish you a Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
And that is the top of the news as it looks from here.
And this is KOIN, Portland, Music Radio 97, where it's 11 o'clock and we have CBS News for you.
CBS News. The natural gas shortage, says the government, is less threatening. I'm Eric Engberg reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Federal energy officials had feared that this winter would bring dangerous shortages of natural gas in this country. But now they say the outlook is much better. One reason, according to John Hill, Deputy Administrator of the Energy Administration, an unseasonably mild winter in most places.
Whenever you're doing predictions like this, particularly when it relates to something as unknown as the weather, you always run the risk of being too high or too low. I'm just glad that our estimates this summer were too high, because the fact that the shortage is less means that the economic impact, the job losses resulting from the gas shortage, have been minimized.
Even though the general outlook for natural gas is much improved, energy officials say there could still be shortages in some states, which might force industries to slow down or even shut down. More CBS News after this.
You may feel it's an embarrassing subject, but since one out of every three people suffers hemorrhoid symptoms at some time, you should know about Preparation H. Preparation H gives prompt, temporary relief from occasional pain and itch in many cases. But Preparation H does more. Actually helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues caused by inflammation. With so many having the problem, it's comforting to know that Preparation H helps shrink swelling of hemorrhoidal tissues. Ointment or suppositories. Use only as directed.
The Bulldogs of Georgia meet the Razorbacks of Arkansas in the Cotton Bowl New Year's Day. So why don't you meet us at the 50-yard line over most of these CBS Radio Network stations for full, live, exclusive radio coverage of the game. I'm Connie Alexander. Tom Hedrick and I will bring you all the play-by-play and color excitement of this New Year's Day classic, the Cotton Bowl. Enjoy it wherever you are. New Year's Day, right here on most of these CBS Radio Network stations. President Ford, according to his press secretary, does not plan much in the way of personal campaigning in the New Hampshire or Florida primary elections. New Hampshire's is the first of the election year and comes late in February. Florida's is the first one in the South. Ronald Reagan is already running hard against the president in both states, but Mr. Ford's press secretary, Ron Nesson, says Mr. Ford plans to meet the challenge more from the White House than from the hustings. At present, Nesson says the president plans only one trip to New Hampshire and one to Florida. The president's Christmas consisted of skiing the slopes of Vail, Colorado, turkey dinner with his wife and four children, opening presents, which turned out to be mostly sweaters. Sometime Friday, the Russians hope to inaugurate regular service by their supersonic transport plane, the Tu-144. A Christmas Day flight was canceled because of heavy air traffic. Only mail and freight is being carried on the first regular flight from Moscow to Soviet Central Asia. Passenger service not due to start until late 1976. Now, a fifth American living in Ethiopia has been kidnapped, apparently by Eritrean guerrillas seeking secession for their province. Four other U.S. citizens have been taken prisoner in Ethiopia since July. The State Department says they are being well treated, but won't say whether any ransom demands have been made. The latest victim, Ronald Mishulki of Mabel, Minnesota, is a communications worker at a U.S. Navy facility in Ethiopia. Yet another assertion by the Soviet Union that it intends to keep backing one side in the Angolan Civil War, regardless of statements by Henry Kissinger that such involvement jeopardizes detente. The government newspaper Izvestia said that threats from what are called leading personalities in the United States would not deter the Soviets from continuing to help Angolan Marxists. Eight persons died Christmas Day in Lebanon's factional strife. Friday is the 82nd birthday of Mao Zedong, chairman of the Communist Party in the People's Republic of China. As usual, the birthday will pass without official ceremony. A fire destroyed two sound stages up the Samuel Goldwyn Film Studios in West Hollywood. Firemen were able to keep the flames from spreading to other nearby lots, including lots once owned by Mary Pickford and Charles Chaplin. More than 2,000 spectators lined both sides of the Delaware River Thursday to watch the reenactment of George Washington's Christmas crossing 199 years ago. More after this.
Fort Martin, Little League coach. How do you spell relief?
When I get acid indigestion, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S, Rolaids.
Missy Smith, switchboard operator.
For gas, I spell relief R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Each Rolaids consumes 47 times its weight in excess stomach acid. Captain Allen, helicopter pilot. How do you spell relief?
For heartburn, R-O-L-A-I-D-S.
Rolaids spells relief. Use only as directed.
You can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Luden's. They're medicated cough drops with great taste in every box. Wild cherry, sweet and savory, menthol, cool and flavory. Honey, the way you wish, with lemon or licorice. Oh, you can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Luden's.
Luden's, the medicated cough drops that don't taste medicated. They taste great. Use only as directed.
4 million American workers will get an automatic pay raise on New Year's Day. Under the new federal minimum wage law, the minimum salary in this country will go from $2.10 an hour to $2.30 an hour in most job classifications. I'm Eric Engberg, CBS News.
Due to technical difficulties, CBS Radio Mystery Theater will be heard at 11:07 in just 1 minute here on Coin 97. 39-year-old Ronald Flynn of Portland reported in satisfactory condition following a shooting incident in which another man was killed. Police say that Flynn and 23-year-old Ronald Hobbs were assaulted early Christmas morning by a man who called out Ron and then opened fire on the pair. If Portland City Commissioner Connie McCready has her way, the city will be able to recover the $8,400 missing from the Civic Auditorium budget. It must have been a disappointing Christmas for the owners of a Portland business that was established only 2 months ago to recycle plastics. The Southeast Portland warehouse of Lab Plastics was burned to the ground Christmas Eve. Estimated damages are $40,000. And the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office has charged 25-year-old Raymond Kensler with the shooting death of his father-in-law. Authorities say the two men had been arguing earlier. The weather situation for the Portland metropolitan area: rain tonight and a 100% that it will continue all the way to tomorrow night. That's Radio 97 News to 11:07. CBS Radio Mystery Theater will be next on KOIN, Portland.
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents...
Marshall. Welcome. Doubly welcome this special eve, of course. If you look in Webster's dictionary under the word miracle, you can read the definition: an event or effect contrary to the established order of things. A wonder or a wonderful thing. This is the story of a miracle that took place at Christmas time. The very best of all possible times for miracles. And it begins with an ad which has appeared for 10 years in the Dawson City Times and the Thomasville Courier.
We'll begin the advertisement with, if the owner of a Santa Claus suit rented to Jennifer Swallow will present his copy of the receipt to me, Jasper Crown, he will be
Oh, you'd have to include your address and your phone number, etc.
Of course, Jenny, we'll include that. He will be remunerated to whatever degree he asks, up to $1 million. Does that seem fair?
Oh, it isn't fair. It's silly. The rental was less than $1. Why should it be worth any more than that?
Maybe you'll never know, but I will. And everyone else who hears this story will know.
Mystery drama, A Very Private Miracle, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Howard Da Silva. It is sponsored in part by Luden's Medicated Cough Drops and Buick Motor Division.
I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you say Budweiser, when you say Bud, you said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like choicest tops, rice, and best barley malt. The Budweiser ingredients listed proudly right there on the Budweiser label. There are less expensive ingredients, but you won't find them in Budweiser. No way. There's a lot more that goes into the brewing of Budweiser than just ingredients. But it's what comes out that counts most, and that's the Budweiser taste. And that speaks for itself, loud and clear. Hear it talking? Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. You know, use of the metric system as a uniform system of measurement in this country is growing rapidly. But of course, you want to know how it will affect you, right? Well, take driving your car, for example. The kilometer will replace the mile in expressing distances. Right now, 1 mile is equal to 1,760 yards or 5,280 feet. Now, isn't it easier to remember that 1 kilometer is equal to 1,000 meters? Your car's speedometer will also change from miles per hour to kilometers per hour. So will speed limit signs on the highways. And again, the standard unit of measure will be the meter. And so when you order a tank full of gas, the liquid measure will be in liters, not gallons. For example, a fill-up of 16 gallons is equal to 60 liters. For more information on the metric system, write to Metric Information Office, National Bureau of Standards, Washington, D.C.
This is a story of a very special time and a very special love affair between a bright and artless 10-year-old and a bitter, soured man who made himself old before his time. But however it ends, it begins with hate.
What was that, Arthur?
A rock through the window. That's an ugly mob outside.
Yeah, no goods, inadequates, ingrates.
Because you've taken their livelihood away from them.
My livelihood as well. I can't go on losing money with the mill. Since Robert walked out on me, I don't need any more.
But Thomasville does. Good Lord, it's the only real industry we have left to keep the town alive.
Are you my lawyer or theirs?
You know whose lawyer I am.
My friend or theirs?
That's a question which gets more and more difficult to answer. Jasper, it's Christmas. And Robert had good ideas for the mill.
I don't want to hear any more about the mill or about Robert, my son, or my daughter. Most of all, I don't want to hear about Christmas. That cheap, tawdry, pagan celebration. There, at last. The riots. They'll break up that no-good rabble. That's my Christmas present to them. Finally, the police have dispersed them. Cowards all. A mob has no courage.
Well, what are you going to do about the window?
Close the room off. Heaven knows there are enough other rooms for me to wander through alone since I've been deserted by my family.
Well, that's scarcely fair to Emily.
Emily? Did I once really have a wife? Was there some warmth in this house?
While my sister lived.
Well, she's dead. Too many years ago for me to want to count. There's no one left but my housekeeper and me. At least Mrs. Murchison hasn't deserted me, as you want to. Go then, Arthur, go. It's safe now. The papers are all signed.
I won't execute these till after the holiday.
The day after Christmas.
The day after Christmas is Sunday, so I can't do anything till Monday.
Very well, but the execution is signed, sealed, and delivered. When I sell the mill, I'll be not a millionaire, but a multi-millionaire. Or do you mean that crowd of hicks the police just chased away? You think I'm frightened of them?
Oh, I didn't mean physically, and I didn't mean concerned either. I mean terrified for your immortal soul. Oh, don't trouble. I'll let myself out. Oh, Mrs. Murchison, if I don't see you again before the great day, Merry Christmas.
And a Merry Christmas to you, Mr. Daly.
Who was on the phone, Mrs. Murchison?
Oh, such good news for you, sir. It's little Mary herself.
What did she want?
Sure, she's still on the phone waiting to tell you herself.
I have no wish to talk to my daughter.
Ah, but when you hear her news...
What news?
She wanted to tell you herself.
If she's leaving that damn foreigner and coming home alone, I'll talk to her. Otherwise, go and hang up.
Without listening to what she has to say?
There's only one thing I want to hear from her. An apology.
Oh, you're not going to talk to Miss Mary?
No.
I wanted to save the news for her to give you. Oh, but now sure I have to say it myself. It's a baby she's going to have. She wanted you to know you're going to be a grandfather.
Oh, some penniless foreigner. No, thank you. You can tell Mrs. Blumenthal it won't work. She's still as completely cut out of my will as her brother. When you hang up the phone, you can bring me a cup of tea. I'll be in the library.
Oh, the good Lord favor me and put the words in my mouth. Mary, sweetheart, forgive me for being gone this long.
Well, that's all right, Merch, honey. Is Dad there?
Well, my Vernon, to tell you the truth, he's after having a little bit of a light on, and...
Well, it's all right. I know what he's lying down on. Any reconciliation with me. I thought maybe the time of year and the baby. Did you tell him about the baby?
Well, I didn't want to. I wanted it to be your surprise, but...
Okay. Forget it. I get the whole picture. Maybe I knew before I tried again. Now I know it's hopeless. Merry Christmas to you, Merch Love, anyway. And a Happy New Year.
Oh, Mary, my darling. Oh, what's the use? How long can you fight? If he just wasn't so stubborn. If only Mr. Crown could forget himself and accept someone else into his heart.
Come in.
It's your tea, Mr. Crown.
Oh, thanks. Just put it on the table.
Yes, sir.
Well, was there something else?
Yes. Mr. Crown, this next Christmas would be my 25th that I've served your family.
Oh, in heaven's name, spare me the Christmas spirit. It's choking me.
Well, it's choking some of the rest of us, too, Mr. Crown. Everyone has a limit. You're not alone in that. I've just been talking to Mary, and I've lived through a long, difficult time in your family. I'm giving my notice.
Before dinner?
I honestly don't care if you ever eat again or live. I just have time to catch the next bus. I'll send someone else to clear out everything that's left of mine in this house. I want no part of it or you ever again.
A little while later, the front doorbell rang. With Mrs. Murchison gone, Jasper was tempted not to answer it. But when it rang again... Some secret urgency drew him down the long corridor. On the walk, he winced. His elbow pained him, and the arthritis in his right leg jumped and sent shivers. Every ache and pain he had ever known seemed to assail him, till the magic moment he opened the door and saw, standing on the stoop, her freckles burning bright in her snow-white face, her pigtails stiff in the icy wind, Jennifer. And even though he didn't realize it, magic was upon him.
Yes? Who are you?
Jennifer Swallow.
What are you doing on my doorstep?
If you please, Mr. Crown, I'm freezing to death.
Well, you came here of your own free will. What do you want?
I have a business proposition to put to you.
Not interested.
How do you know if you haven't heard it yet?
Don't be rude. You're talking to your elders.
Excuse me. I didn't mean to be rude. I'm just anxious.
Anxious about what?
My proposition. What I want to talk to you about.
All right. What is it?
I'm too cold to tell you here. My father says that no gentleman keeps a lady waiting.
You're no lady. You're just a child.
And you're no gentleman. You're a...
A what?
You're a kind man who's going to offer me shelter.
Very well, before we both freeze to death. Come in, come in.
Thank you. You shouldn't have let me in, you know.
But you was.
Get in. My father says you should never let a salesman get his foot in the door.
Are you a salesman?
Oh, no. It's just an expression, you see. In a manner of speaking, so to speak.
What is it you want, young lady?
My name's Jennifer.
Jennifer? I'm not interested in names. All I want to know is what your business is here.
Shouldn't we go into the parlor?
No.
You're kind of old. I thought you might want to sit down.
Well, maybe I'd better.
It would be much cozier.
Very well, then. Follow me.
Even though it is quite cold, it's very nice weather for this time of year.
What?
I'm just making conversation. My father says...
I don't believe it.
Believe what?
I don't believe your father ever gets a word in edgewise with you around. All right, it's warm in here in the library. There's a fire. You can sit over there on the other side of the fireplace.
Thank you. So many books.
Ah, a lot of knowledge in the world if you young folks would take time to pick up some of it. Now, Miss Jennifer, just what is it you want?
Well, it's at the church, you see. Nobody is working this year on account of you closed the factory down.
You blame me for that?
Oh, no. I mean, that's your business, of course. But it meant somebody had to do something special. About Christmas, I mean.
I might have known it. Sending a child here to blink her innocent eyes at me. Who put you up to this? Who sent you here to ask for money?
No one. I just wanted
to... Don't lie! For a moment, you almost fooled me, young lady. But I might have known there was something behind this. There is, isn't there?
Well...
What is it? Present for the church?
Oh, no. I already won those. I'll win the booty.
You what?
I said I already got those from Win the Booty. You know.
No, I don't know. What is Win the Booty?
It's on television. Don't you watch it?
I don't have a television set.
Oh, it's fun. The man asks you questions, you see. And then you have to answer them.
And that's what you did?
Of course. Why are you so surprised?
I'm just amazed that you didn't ask him most of the questions. So you won some prizes, eh?
Oh, scrumptious ones. So you see, we don't need you for that.
You don't say. Well, what do you need me for?
Well, see, the presents are to be handed out tomorrow night at Christmas Eve. And we have no Santa Claus to do it. I wanted you for that.
Of course. Because I'm rich and you thought that I might bring some extra presents.
That wasn't it at all.
Somebody else had an idea you should come here and ask me?
No, sir. This was my own idea.
Really? Just what's the matter with the guy who knows all the answers?
Who?
Your all-wise father.
Oh, he isn't here this year.
What's keeping him so busy?
A first-class son of a gun.
A what?
His superior officer. My father's in the Navy. Both of them are.
Who?
My father and the first-class son of a gun. That isn't exactly what he called him, but I promise not to repeat the other.
I see. Well, if it can't be your father, what's the matter with your minister?
Nothing.
I mean as Santa Claus.
Oh, too skinny and too serious. He never understands a joke. He's really an old stick.
But what on earth would make you think of me, child? You don't just want me to be Santa Claus. You have an ulterior motive.
What's an ulterior motive?
You want me to do something else, don't you?
Oh, that. Of course.
You admit it.
Oh, sure. We don't have a budget for the Santa Claus suit. So I thought if you'd be him, you could afford to rent it. Where are you going?
I'm opening the door for you to leave, Jezebel.
My name isn't Jezebel.
That's a matter of opinion. Just keep heading for the front door.
Then you won't be Santa Claus?
I'm afraid I'm not the type.
You could be just perfect if you'd let yourself go.
I wish I could believe that.
Oh, couldn't you?
Only one way I could.
Well, how's that?
You get me the Santa Claus suit, and if you still want me, I'll be your Santa Claus.
Honest to Pete?
Honest to Pete.
Well, I'll try. But it's going to take a miracle if I do.
You know, I wouldn't put it past you.
Jasper Crown remained with his hand on the door. One part of him congratulating himself for having resisted that elfin charm. The child was just trying to use him and his wealth, as people always were. Egged on by her elders, no doubt. But another part of him, lonely and forgotten and rusty with disuse, cried out for her return, for a miracle. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's mid-size 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of practicality that no other American mid-size car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs, and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Never underestimate the power of Jennifer. That night, Jennifer broke open her piggy bank and counted her capital. $2.23. The following morning, she bought a return trip ticket on the bus to Dawson City, which cut into her budget to the tune of $1.62. Once she got there, she set her jaw and started to comb the city. It was well after lunch when suddenly the freckles were dancing across her nose and her pigtails vibrating with delight. For there, just as she told herself there had to be, was a sign saying, Santa Claus suits for rent, dirt cheap. The proprietor was a wonderful man with a jolly round face and bristling white eyebrows and a shock of snowy white hair. As Jenny said afterwards, she almost wished he might be persuaded to come and play Santa Claus.
But that's really a silly idea. He lives too far away.
I beg your pardon, miss.
Did I say something?
Well, there are only two of us here, and I didn't say anything, so I think it must have been you.
There I go again, thinking out loud. You couldn't, could you? Or didn't I think that part out loud?
What part?
About wanting you to come and be Santa Claus in Thomasville at our church tomorrow evening.
Oh, I'm afraid I couldn't. Some other people are expecting me. But I can rent you a suit, you know, a Santa Claus suit. Do you see one that you like?
Well, there are so many. Where what's this one made of?
Ah, red velvet with ermine trim. You like it?
It is nice. How much would it cost to rent it?
Well, now, that's a very handsome suit and quite cheap at the normal rental of $100.
$100?
Too much?
Oh, much too much.
Well, now, how much were you thinking of?
61 cents.
61 cents, eh? Now, isn't that a coincidence? As a matter of fact, right down beneath the counter here, I may have just the thing. Ah, yes, here we are. Now, let's see, boots, belt, hat, pants, and a tunic. And, of course, the whiskers to go with it. And the price happens to be just right, on the nose, as the saying goes. 61 cents.
It is pretty old and tattered.
Yes, it is. Seen a lot of use. I have to admit it isn't in the best of repair. But it's the genuine thing.
Well, it is pretty ratty. But I'll take it. After all, the price is right. And the kids who are going to see it won't notice the condition. Because to tell you the truth, these days our clothes are pretty ratty, too.
Well, rightio. I'll wrap it all up. And while I'm getting it ready, you can sign your name right here.
What's that for?
Well, I'd like to get this suit back. You might be surprised, but sometimes I have a little trouble. This way, if you shouldn't return it, any time I want to claim it, I'll have proof that it's mine.
Oh, now why doesn't Mrs. Murchison answer that bell? Oh, of course, I forgot. She's gone. Oh, rotten tarnation. I've answered myself, I suppose. I'm coming, damn it, I'm coming. Oh. Well, you don't have to pull it out of its socket.
It's so cold. I'm freezing.
Oh, it's you again, is it? Well, what is it this time?
Look, I got it. I got it.
Got what?
The Santa Claus suit. I thought you'd be happy.
Why should I be happy?
Because you said. You promised. You're not going to Welsh out. Aren't you even going to invite me in?
So you tricked me into a promise I should never have given.
I didn't either trick you.
Oh, no? Well, we'll see. Well, what are you standing out there for, child? Want us both to freeze to death in this drafty hall? Go on to the living room. I've had the window fixed.
Yes, sir, Mr. Brown.
Well, in you go. There's a fire here, and it's warmer.
It certainly is that. Thank you.
So you got the suit, huh?
Yes, sir.
How?
That's my business.
Didn't take you long to maneuver it once you found out I wouldn't fork out for it, huh?
That's right, Mr. Crown.
Well, sit down.
Thank you.
That all?
Excuse me?
I mean, can't catch your tongue, huh? You certainly had enough to say yesterday. Why so silent now?
I'm disappointed.
Why?
Because you're not happy, too. About the suit, I mean.
Why should I be?
I don't know, Mr. Crown. But I was just sure you would be.
Well, you're wrong. I'm not. I made a bargain, and I'll stick to it.
You don't have to, if you don't want to. I won't hold you to it. I mean, an unhappy Santa Claus wouldn't be much good. Do you want to?
Want to what? Be unhappy?
No, to get out of it.
I don't even know if I can get into it yet. Close your mouth. You look silly with it open. Oh, come on. The suit, I mean. The suit. Come on, let's see it.
I can't open it. It is a very difficult knot.
Oh, give me that stupid parcel. Stop fiddling. Can't spend all night on this. Oh! Good Lord, in what ragtag did you find this flea-bitten outfit, huh?
I didn't either find it. I rented it.
Rented it? And just what did you pay for this threadbare collection of junk?
It cost 61 cents.
How much?
More, when you count my bus fare from here to Dawson City. $1.62 plus 61 cents. $2.23 capital.
And just where did you get $2.23?
It was my tree money for Christmas, but I'd rather have a Santa Claus than a tree. So I broke my piggy bank and I hate you.
Oh, stop it. All right, I'll be your Santa Claus. Oh, I'll even try the suit on now if you like. Oh, if you still want me, that is. I'll be a pretty gruff Santa Claus, but... Oh, shall I try the damn thing on?
Yes, please. After all, I spent the money. And something is better than nothing, isn't it?
Honesty, Jasper. The startling white honesty of a child. It's what you've been looking for, grasping for. Something to believe in again. And yet, too late. Too late. You're so conscious of the age in your body, the bile in your gut, your loneliness, that rheumatic elbow, that gnawing peptic ulcer, the tight place around your heart, or is what you fear most, your mean and soul.
And while Jasper thought these thoughts, he was slowly putting on the Santa Claus suit, shaking his head at each tattered garment and worn accessory that went with it. But as he put each piece on, watching through Jenny's eyes, each separate piece seemed to shine suddenly as luxuriously rich and sumptuous as the velvet and ermine suit she had first seen. And the whiskers were pure white and thick and curly. And the boots were like the most expensive Moroccan leather. But the biggest miracle of all was in Jasper. Gone was the constriction from the heart. The nagging ache was no longer dragging at his stomach. The rheumatic arm was loose as a whip. And a magic sponge had wiped the lines from his face and the meanness from his heart.
Oh, super! Gloriosa! It fits! It fits!
Like a glove.
You look so different.
I feel so different. Do I look like Santa Claus?
Not look. You are. You are Santa. It's just perfect, only...
Only what?
Do you think you could, you know, just a little, even smile?
Not only could I smile, I even think I could laugh again.
Oh, try, Mr. Crown, try.
You could call me Jasper, Jennifer.
And you can call me Jenny Jasper.
Hello, Jenny Jasper.
Oh, Jasper, this is going to be a good Christmas.
Oh, Jenny, this is going to be the best Christmas ever.
Now, Mrs. Templeton, now do you think?
Yes. I was just coming to tell you, my dear child, that my husband said we are just about to commence. Mr. Crown's all dressed and ready.
The Reverend isn't teed off, is he?
Teed off?
I mean, his feathers aren't ruffled.
The Reverend is a saint, my dear. A perfect saint. Why on earth should he be angry?
Well, Grandmother said he always played Santa Claus. And if someone else wanted to be it, he'd be mad as a wet hen. And I said, why is a wet hen mad? And she said, because its feathers get ruffled.
Your grandmother... I should say your family in general, Jenny, doesn't quite understand a man of God. The minister, my beloved George, is only too happy to welcome back a sinner and a backslider like Mr. Crown. He would sacrifice any of his little pleasures for that. Which reminds me.
Yes, ma'am?
For some reason or other, Mr. Crown says he has to see you before he comes in.
Oh, dear, I hope nothing's gone wrong. Because if Jasper's feathers are ruffled, this whole party could lay an egg.
I thought we'd never get rid of that old stork.
I told you he was an old stick.
In the mud. Now, what I needed you for was to know if I look all right.
Come over to the chair. He has the wig all wrong and the hat not... Not down over your nose, not sort of jaunty to one side. And he didn't put the rouge on your cheeks, like this. Oh, and now you really look like something. Oh, Jasper, you look just beautiful.
And so do you, Jenny.
Oh, I don't matter. You're the star of this show. Now you go out there and twinkle.
Watch my stardust. Just call me Jasper, Jenny, and everything's all right.
You just call me Jenny Jasper, and I know it's going to be. Here he comes, everybody, all the way from the North Pole.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Merry Christmas.
So there it is. We have all been witness to the regeneration of Jasper Crown. A child's drive and belief has brought him back to the precious gift of present youth and laughter. But is it a true conversion or only a momentary aberration? Is the magic of this moment in the Christmas legend, in the suit, and in Jenny? What happens if he loses either or both? I'll be back shortly with Act 3.
You can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Ludens. They're medicated cough drops with great taste in every box. Wild cherry, sweet and savory, menthol cool and flavory. Honey, the way you wish, with lemon or licorice. Oh, you can have great taste, lots of great taste and taste with Ludens.
Ludens, the medicated cough drops that don't taste medicated. They taste great. Use only as directed.
Bat-eyed strings around my finger, written notes to myself. This is Dennis Weaver, and I guess I've tried them all. And every once in a while, I find that I've forgotten in spite of all the reminders. I hope that doesn't happen to your Christmas seal letter. You see, the things Christmas seals do for us must go on all year round. That's the fight against such lung diseases as emphysema, asthma, and tuberculosis. Please give more to Christmas seals.
Your Lung Association says it's a matter of life and breath.
One hope for tomorrow, the children of today.
There is only one hope for tomorrow, the children. Yet there are children in this world right now who have no hope for a brighter today. They're hungry, illiterate, living in misery, and when they grow up, if they grow up, they'll pass on this hopelessness. And it's the world's loss and the world's shame. You can help children to grow up with healthy bodies and educated minds, with a zest for life that they'll pass on to their children. And to our world. Won't you please send a check to Save the Children Federation, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. That's Save the Children, Box 970, Grand Central Station, New York 10017. Think about tomorrow.
We've got to save the children and save the world. Help them to grow.
The church party was an exceptionally long one that year. And before it was over, Jasper Crown had indeed become Santa's alter ego. Many other gifts beyond those Jenny collected on Win the Booty were distributed. All of them from Jasper's generous purse. $50,000 to the church itself. Another $50,000 to the community chest. And many smaller but not less welcome gifts. Then, with the party over, Jasper, after a long last hug with Jenny before she went home, returned to his own house. But however cold the empty old mansion might seem, Jasper, in his suit of red, was warm and glowing inside. And his first trip was to the telephone.
Christmas greetings, hello.
Happy Christmas, my darling daughter. Yes, Mary. You're a miserable, old, wretched, stupid...
Oh, I can't believe it. I mean, you don't... Well, you never were stupid. And you certainly don't sound miserable, old, or wretched.
Well, I'm none of those, but I was stupid. How can I make up for it to you and Leon?
Make up? Oh, Daddy, I wish you could be with us for Christmas.
It's a little late for that, but I have another idea. I want to buy plane tickets for you and Leon to come visit me and ring in the new year with me.
Oh, Daddy.
A real good new year. I just called Robert, and he and his wife are coming home with the children. He's going to start up the mill again for me. It could be a real family reunion.
Daddy, I don't know what to say.
Oh, say yes. Please, just say yes.
Of course it's yes. Yes, yes, yes. Daddy, what happened? You sound, well, not only like yourself again, but like, well, I don't know. Like the spirit of Christmas, past and present.
And future. You'll see, I hope, when you come home. Mrs. Murchison, come in, come in.
Goodness, angels be with me. I thought, Mr. Crown, for a moment you were the real article.
I can't claim that. I wish I could.
Oh.
But I feel as cheerful as him. What brings you here Christmas morning?
Well, now, sir, I felt real bad. Particularly this time of year and I'll walking out on you. And here is Christmas Day and you even without a dinner. So, I was after bringing a little basket here, if you'd accept it.
I accept it from the heart, and with my thanks. But I'd like to ask you something in return.
What is that?
Will you come back to work for me, Murch? I need you.
Oh, you called me Murch. Mary's name.
She's coming home with her husband and her child-to-be for New Year's, and Robert and his family.
Oh.
They're moving back to open up the mill. I'll need you, Murch.
Ah, the Blessed Mary preserve us, so you will. I'm glad I'll be to come home.
Good.
But what is it that's come over you, Mr. Crown?
A child brought me this suit, Murch. And putting it on, I went back to the man I was. I don't want to question either, because I believe them both to be a miracle. And I thank God to have found happiness and peace again.
Ah.
And pray to him it will not be taken away from me.
But every silver lining has a cloud, every sky a rift. The worm nestles even in the heart of a rose. Jasper could not buy his happiness this fast, if ever, again. As she has been his angel, Jenny now becomes his nemesis.
Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning, Jasper. I didn't expect...
Me to answer the door? Well, I saw you coming up the walk.
I didn't mean that. I meant, I didn't expect to see... I hate to say it, but I've come for the Santa Claus suit.
No. What do you want it for?
You'll have to take it off now, Jasper.
Why?
Because I signed the paper. I only rented it, and I'm responsible. I have to take it back. To see you out of the Santa Claus suit again, Jasper.
Oh, Jenny, I feel naked. It's the way I told you.
But that's silly. You aren't the way you were at all. You're nice now. The way I always knew you were underneath.
As long as I have the suit.
As long as you have you. That's what counts. My father says... Oh, wait a minute. Tell the chauffeur. Here's the street. I was sure it was this one. Try the next. You watch one side, and I'll watch the other.
You're not watching, Jenny.
That's because I've already looked all the way down. It must be the next block. Why are you looking so sad again, Jasper?
Because I feel that way. Not even sad. Frightened, Jenny.
Why?
I like the way I am. I didn't like the way I was. And I'm afraid that if I let go of the suit, I'll go back to being what I was.
Never. Anyway, when we get to the shop, you can always buy it. Oh, tell the chauffeur to turn here. To the right.
Take the next right, Edwards. You sure this is it?
Yes, I know. Because there's the hat factory, and the cigar store, and the man who cooks spaghetti in the window of a shop. And right there next to it...
What? What, Jenny?
Mr. Edwards, stop and back up. See, Jasper?
It's a dead-end street anyway. And there's that big school, and the storage company, and then the Chinese laundry. And right here between it and the man who cooks spaghetti in the window is... was...
Stop the car, Edwards. But, Jenny, there's nothing here but an empty lot.
But there can't be, because otherwise, then it would have to be a miracle.
Yes, that's what it would have to be.
But that's impossible.
Why?
Because miracles have to be about holy things, and they have to be very old.
Well, what's holier than Christmas? And it's pretty old.
I must have made a mistake. We'll just have to keep...
Little Jenny, listen to me. This is a funny thing to ask, but I ask it with all my heart. Don't let's go looking anymore, because we just might find him, and that's the thing I'm most afraid of.
Why?
Because then I'd have to give the suit back, and I might stop believing again.
Oh, is that the time? The right time?
Yes, what's wrong?
I've got to get back to Grandma's fast. I'm catching a plane today.
Edwards, home, step on it. A plane? Where to?
Pacific. Japan. Back to my father. He's so lonely. I'm all he has. But Grandmother was getting old, and we were both going to spend Christmas with her. Only that first-class son of a... I almost said it. Anyway, the Admiral said he couldn't spare my father because of the general situation. Oh, what am I going to do?
About your father?
No, about the suit.
Jenny, why don't you let me handle this? I'm here, and your father and you are going to be on the other side of the world.
How could you handle it?
Well, let me tell you, and we'll write it down as soon as we get home. Now, here's the advertisement, Jenny. I'll read it. If the owner of the Santa Claus suit rented to Jennifer Swallow will present his copy of the receipt to me, Jasper Crown, my address, phone number, and so on, he will be remunerated to whatever degree he deems fair and equitable, up to, but not to exceed, the sum of $1,000,000. This ad will appear daily till the first of the new year, and for the month of December of each succeeding year until the decease of the aforementioned Jasper Crown. Okay?
But Jasper, $1,000,000 for that cruddy old suit?
I told you, it's worth that to me. Do you have to go, Jenny?
You shouldn't have to ask. You know how fathers feel about daughters.
Now I do.
Your own daughter is coming back to be with you. And your son, too. You'll never miss me.
Oh, I will that. Don't ever mistake it. But I'm finally realizing all this fuss about a suit I thought was a key that unlocked my heart. When it wasn't the suit at all, it was you.
I hate goodbyes. They're always sad. Why can't they be laughing goodbyes? Couldn't you laugh? Just a little?
You said that to me once before, remember?
And you laughed.
I don't think anything can make me laugh now.
I bet I could. Try it, Mr. Crown.
Try what?
That's not what you're supposed to say.
What am I supposed to say?
You're supposed to say, you can call me...
Jasper, Jenny.
And you can call me Jenny Jasper.
Hello, Jenny Jasper.
Hello, Jasper, Jenny. Oh, Jasper, it's been such a good Christmas.
The best. The best ever.
Jenny left, as she had to. And Jasper placed the ad in the paper. For 10 years, it appeared every December, as Jasper lived out a full and happy life, his family, grandchildren, and his mill workers filling every Christmas for him. Until early this December, when he died, peacefully and quietly in his sleep, grateful and joyful to go join his beloved wife.
Hello, Mr. Crown. I've been proud of you these last 10 years.
I've felt at peace with myself. The suit is in that rosewood box on my bureau. And here's a blank check signed. Fill in what you want.
Oh, no. This is paid in full. I've more than had my rental. But I will take the suit back because it is Christmas again. And who knows? It may be very useful to someone else, eh? Now, excuse me. It's a busy season. For me. Now, Dasher. Now, Dancer. Now, Prancer and Vixen.
I did. It's been most of it. Such a good life. And the best of it you made. But I'm tired, Jenny. So tired. Say goodnight to me.
Goodnight, Jasper. I wish I could wish you Merry Christmas.
No. That's my little gift to you. Have as many and more as you brought me.
I love you, Jasper.
That's what Christmas is all about.
Tonight, my extra special Santa.
Or effect contrary to the established order of things. A wonder or a wonderful thing. Webster's definition of a miracle. I'll be back shortly.
Dreams. We all seek to understand the many ways in which God reveals his word. Throughout time, God has spoken to man in dreams. Jehovah said in the Old Testament, "Listen to my words. If a man be a prophet, I make myself known to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams." So, pay attention to your own dreams. They might well reveal flashes of the future, predictions and warnings of things to come. They may give you a glimpse of God's guidance to lead you back to the peace and security of his way. For your free booklet on dreams, write to the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021. That's the Foundation Church, 1147 First Avenue, New York, New York, 10021.
For this special night of the year, there remains nothing to say in closing but God rest you, merry gentlemen and ladies, and a merry, merry Christmas to all. Our cast included Howard Da Silva, Jennifer Marlowe, Virginia Payne, E.V. Juster, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
Sorry I can't embrace you, but my arms seem to be strapped tightly to my sides.
Doctor, order your attendants to release him.
Mrs. Layton.
Release him.
Unstrap him, Fred.
Mm-hmm. That's better. Much better.
Now, may I ask you all to leave so I can be alone with my husband?
Yes, of course, Mrs. Latham. Goodbye, Pam. Come in.
Well, then, aren't you happy to be home?
Oh, yes, Mary. Very happy. Very happy.
No. Ben. Oh, no. Stay away.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
This is KOIN Portland, Music Radio 97. Tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Pittsburgh and Kansas squaring off in the Sun Bowl. Be sure to be here for all the action and Blazer basketball. Tomorrow night, the Blazers and the Los Angeles Lakers starting at 7:40. Bill Shonley back tomorrow night calling the play-by-play. It's 11 o'clock in the Northwest. This is KOIN Portland. CBS News at 11. At 12, I mean, is next.
CBS News. The Lebanese government has launched a new effort to restore peace between militiamen of the warring political and religious factions. Good morning. I'm Mike Stanley, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Premier Rashid Karami met with Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat for more than 2 hours in an effort to shore up the truce between the gunmen, a truce that has been violated repeatedly since it was announced 3 weeks ago. Now, Iraq has sent a delegation from its ruling Ba'ath Party to join Syrian, French, and Vatican emissaries, all working in Lebanon in an effort to find the peace formula. Sniper fire ringing throughout Beirut and in areas east of the capital city was reported to have claimed at least 8 more victims on Christmas Day. Another truce was arranged in Zahle, some 30 miles east of Beirut, but given recent experience, no one seems to be placing too much faith in it until more time has elapsed. CBS News continues following this message.
There's a new word that all of us should add to our healthcare vocabulary. Chemotherapy. It's the name of the treatment which uses life-supporting drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life in our war against cancer. Right now, in your own community, it's helping many of your neighbors, perhaps someone in your own family, to live and work effectively, on the job, in the home, and with others in the community. Chemotherapy is one more victory in our war against cancer. But we need more victories, greater victories, and we can't stop until the war is over. Support the research of the Chemotherapy Foundation. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
A Minnesota man working at the U.S. naval installation in Ethiopia is the latest kidnap victim there, the fifth American abducted in as many months. A State Department source announced Ronald Michelke, a civilian communications worker, was taken last Sunday by several unidentified men. Previous abductions had been carried out by the Eritrean Liberation Front, which authorities presume staged the Michelke kidnapping as well. A two-month-long kidnapping episode is over in Argentina. Bob Trossel reports from Buenos Aires.
Heinrich Metz, the German production manager of Mercedes-Benz Argentina, was released by left-wing Montanaro kidnappers. Mercedes-Benz paid a large ransom, rehired 100 workers who had been laid off, and took out ads for the Montaneros in newspapers in Mexico City and Peru. Metz was kidnapped from the Mercedes plant last October 24th during a labor dispute. Apparently, both the left-wing Peronist Montanaro guerrillas and Marxist ERP guerrillas have taken over a number of labor groups at a factory floor level. The guerrillas are currently concentrating on the use of terrorism in factory disputes in order to win labor support. Bob Trossel for CBS News in Buenos Aires.
President Ford says he plans to tackle some official business today before spending more time on the ski slopes at Vail, Colorado. He spent much of Christmas Day there, then came indoors to help his family demolish a 22-pound turkey. The day began for the first family, as it did for most, with the exchange of gifts. Later, Mr. Ford discussed with reporters how he fared personally.
Can you tell us what you got for Christmas?
I said I got 12 turtlenecks.
Really?
I ordered one, and everybody in the family bought me one. But I needed them.
Was it a nice Christmas for
that family? Christmas was having all the family together. I'll have a nice get-together with the tree. And nice breakfast, 3 dogs, just a great time together.
A White House spokesman later said the boy and president stopped in the middle of a ski run to chat with reporters, exaggerated that actually he'd received 4 turtleneck sweaters. More news in a moment.
The time, 1856. The ship USS Supply, commanded by Lieutenant David Dixon Porter, sailed from Smyrna, Egypt, with perhaps the most unique cargo ever carried on a naval vessel. This is James Drury with Navy Chronicle. The cargo was purchased under congressional appropriation to be employed for military purposes. The cargo, 50 Egyptian camels. Secretary of War Jefferson Davis believed camels could speed troop movements in the Southwest due to their stamina in hot weather. The camels were unloaded at Powderhorn, Texas in May of 1856 and were used with varying degrees of success, even later hauling bales of cotton for the Confederates during the Civil War. But soldiers and camels regard each other with suspicion, so they were eventually sold out of the military. Some of them were bought by a circus, some were turned loose in Arizona. A few were even seen as late as 1905. Camels from Egypt were brought over, and the Navy was there.
You've been listening to Navy Chronicle, an historical series with James Drury and the U.S. Navy Band.